All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. This is the pre-new league year edition of the show. As free agency and all that good stuff will be on March 13th next week, post-combine edition of the show. And we got kind of a potpourri edition of the show for you today. I got a lot of things I want to get to. No one central theme, just a bunch of stuff I want to hit on now that the combine has passed. We got Donovan Smith and his extension. We've got potential cuts that are coming soon, not could be coming soon, are coming soon, and all kinds of other things. We got WrestleMania coming to Tampa in April 2020. We're all over the map here on the Free Stretch today, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, as always, where right now they're proud to announce a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. This includes unlimited years, unlimited miles, 10-year roadside assistance, and 1-year complimentary service. And you can see all the details for this at the website if you go to BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. They are Tampa's first family of Ford and have been serving the area for 58 years now. Go check them out either at the website or in person, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of Hillsboro there on the right side of the road if you're heading north on the east side of the road. And they've got lots going on right now in addition to all that I told you about. You know, we've flipped the calendar to 2019. It's March now, but there's still 2018s hanging around there on the lot. Those are brand new cars. You can get them at a great number, though, right now as they're blowing out the 2018s in favor of the 2019s. So a good chance for you to strike there. Again, just check out all the inventory you want. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. And if you want to, go in person and check them out over there. So we've got, again, free agency starting next week. So next time I do a show will be after free agency has begun the new league year. And until that gets going, you know, people are saying, oh, what are the Bucks going to do after this Donovan Smith signing? Now they're, whatever it is, $3.5 million under the cap, and people are freaking out. I mean, I go on Twitter all the time, and I see people going, oh, Bobby, or talking to Justin, or Greg Allman, or Rick Stroud, or Joe, or any of the Twitter accounts I follow, and what are the Bucks doing, or how they got to make a move, or this or that, and they will, okay? They know what they're doing. Most of the cuts come in the next week, and once things get going here with free agency. So, in the meantime, you know, a central theme of not just this show, but a lot of the shows, and a lot of the just opinion columns or whatever it is, since we hired Bruce Arians, is that, hey, you know, the Bucks weren't that great the past few years, but they're going to be better in 2019 because they're going to get better coaching now. I've said that about Jameis Winston. I've said that about the team in general. I know Joe has said it. Justin said it. People are writing about it. You know, they're going to get better coaching, and that's going to be the difference. So looking at what the Bucks are going to be doing here and what they've already done, and I'm confident, okay? I mean, I'm all in on Arians, you know, the whole song and dance. I've already been through it on the show. Love the hire. Think we're in good hands. Think good things are going to happen eventually. How soon they happen, though, I don't know. And I will say this, if you are hell-bent on things turning around quickly, and Bruce Arians, for his own part, has said that he is, one of his quotes was, I think we have the core here to win quickly. I'm not about building. I'm about reloading. And all that, all the great press conference quotes that get everybody all excited. We read a bunch of them the week that they hired him. Okay, but you better really believe that stuff if you think the Bucks are going to be a force this year. And I think they're going to be better. I really do. But all I'm saying is, roster-wise, they're not going to be that different. I mean, they really aren't. If you look at what they've been able to do offensively, the biggest deal has been re-signing guys that were already here. Donovan Smith now with the new deal, and we'll talk about that in a minute because he's gone from being the worst offensive lineman ever to the best offensive lineman ever to the worst offensive lineman ever, just depending on who you talk to and depending on where we've been on the timeline of his contract status with the Buccaneers. But he's back. We've got, they just did Dotson too. Damar Dotson got his 1 year picked up, his 1 year option for 2019. Offensive line's not going to look that different except for maybe right guard, which could make a big difference for sure. All right. The skill guys aren't going to be that different, except for, you know, maybe no DeSean Jackson, likely no DeSean Jackson, and Humphreys we're still waiting on. The defensive line, I mean, this is all pending the draft, obviously, because the Bucs aren't going to do much in free agency. They may make one signing or so that moves the needle, but that's not going to be like an active thing for the Buccaneers, given their cap situation. And yes, I know that they might have a lot more cap room if, for example, DeSean Jackson isn't back and things like that. But it's still not going to be like a bonanza or anything. So, just all in all, you take this team that underperformed severely last year and for several years, really, has done that. And it's not going to look that different up and down the roster. You better really believe the coaching is going to make a difference up and down the roster if you think the Bucs are going to all of a sudden win whatever it is, 10 games. I don't think it's going to be 12 games or something like that, but 10 games, 9 games, enough to eke in the playoffs. I have no idea, okay? And neither do you. I'm just saying, where we are right now, the strength of this team is going to be predicated on people that have already been here getting better. And that brings me to Donovan Smith, because Donovan Smith signed his deal, and we talked last week and the last couple of weeks how the reports were he's going to be back. They're going to franchise him if they need to. They end up getting a 3-year deal done, and the specifics of it you've already heard by now, I'm sure. $41 million over the 3 years, but that doesn't really matter. Really, it's the $25 million guaranteed or $27 million guaranteed. And so that's fine. I mean, that's fine. We talked about this before. I'm all for it. Listen to how things go with left tackles especially. Offensive linemen in general, but left tackles. One, it's a difficult position. They're all difficult positions to evaluate out of the draft, but it's a very difficult position for teams to evaluate coming out of college, number one. Number two, teams have pretty much made up their minds that these guys aren't getting away in free agency. It's not just the Bucs. So there are no other free agents. Like, it's not like, oh, we're going to not do Smith, we'll do somebody else. There is nobody else, okay? I mean, technically there are names of left tackles who are available right now if you wanted to go into free agency, but none of them are sufficient, basically. That's just the way it is. I mean, that teams, you get your left tackle somehow, some way, and if you get it right and you draft a guy and you evaluate properly and he ends up being halfway decent, you hang on to him like grim death, okay? And that's what, I mean, Donovan Smith is, first of all, not bad, but second of all, only 25, and two, far better than any option they would have out there. But like I said a minute ago, you know, during the season, just all the narratives go back and forth. I remember, and I probably even did it on this show a few times, I just don't remember, but in my frequent rants and bitching about the offensive line, I'm sure I said, oh, Donovan Smith, wah, you know. So, okay, he sucks. Then, now he gets signed, and everybody in the He Sucks crew goes nuts on Twitter, and you've got people now coming out, like me, defending him, saying, well, what are you kidding me? Well, they couldn't do anything else. They weren't going to not re-sign him. They weren't going to go out there and get a lesser left tackle, and maybe, yeah, for less money, sure, but somebody who's not even as good as what they already had, and then start all over again looking for a left tackle when you potentially could have your franchise left tackle already. And I say could because, you know, he hasn't been a world beater or anything, but he's pretty okay. He's pretty good. And he's only 25 years old. And then the coaching thing comes back into it again. And I'm not here to rip previous coaches. People say, oh, he's never been coached by anybody but one other person. And yeah. Hey, could he flourish under a new coaching staff? I certainly hope so. I look forward to that. But that's just another reason to think, hey, this guy is definitely worth bringing back at a pretty reasonable number. And it's only for 3 years. And really only two of those years are what you're on. I mean, you can cut him after 2 years or whatever if it doesn't work out, which I think it will. So, you know, again, it's a tough position to evaluate coming out of college. It's a tough position to go get a guy. You don't just go get a guy at left tackle. Like, that doesn't happen anymore. And so, really, you're left with your options as they lie in front of you, and that the Bucs decided wisely to maintain this one. And so you look at our offensive line now, and this will throw you for a loop. I didn't even realize this until I read it on Greg Allman's Twitter feed, but the Bucs are the only team in the National Football League, okay, out of 32 teams, to be paying three offensive linemen $10 million a year or more. So, I've said repeatedly that the offensive line play has been subpar, that the offensive line has prevented proper evaluation of Jameis Winston, and on and on and on, okay? That offensive line in 2019 will look almost identical to the ones I've ripped, you've ripped, every other person has ripped after watching whatever random games it was at given points in the season last season and seasons before that too. Donovan Smith's your left tackle. Ali Marpet is your left guard. You got Jensen at center. You got Dotson at right tackle. All the same in 2019 as it was in 2018. Now, the right guard, again, you know, if they want to try and do better than Benenock, they probably can. Depends. So, that goes back to my point that I opened the show with. The Bucs aren't going to, like, be different. They just need to be better with the same people next year, for the most part. And sure, right guard could help. But that's not alone going to tip the scales of the entire offensive line's performance. And, you know, I look at these positions. You know, could the Bucs upgrade? Every team could upgrade at offensive line. Every team could upgrade at most positions. But I don't actually think they are in a bad shape at four of the five positions. Like, Marpet's great. You know, Ryan Jensen, like him. And Damar Dotson, you know, he's on the back end of his career, gets the one-year option picked up at $4.1 million. He's age 33 right now. And that's a good number for what he provides. So there's that. The quarterback's going to be the same. Running back's not going to be that different either, Peyton Barber. He's going to have to be tendered or something in the next couple days. They'll be able to get it done. Ronald Jones, who, again, this is another one. Not any different, but he's supposed to be a lot different, Ronald Jones, under Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich and staff, than he was under the previous staff. Okay. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, they need to be better. O.J. Howard. Cameron Brate, if he's back, you know, I love Cameron Brate, but Justin pointed this out on his podcast. You know, Bruce Arians never been a huge tight end guy in his previous stops as a head coach, and that's with successful offenses. So now he's going to use O.J. Howard, but he's going to use two. Like, could we get something for Bright? Draft picks or what? I don't know. You know, maybe. Offense isn't going to look that different. And the offense was pretty good last year for the most part. Now, on defense, though, same thing. I mean, you know, McCoy going to be back, and you've got JPP, who Thomas Bassiter wrote an article about possibly trading him. And I said, hey, I actually could get on board with that. We'll see what they end up doing in the draft. You know, all these mock drafts. And here we go with the mock drafts again. I've seen 15 more mock drafts since last week when I ran it against the other mock drafts. And they've all been different, too. And now my favorite ones now are the ones where the guys get really creative and they, like, orchestrate these trades in their mock drafts. This is all, again, just mental masturbation. And these guys orchestrate all these complex trades and these scenarios. And it's just the same as when you're a kid and you're sitting there with your He-Man dolls and you're like, you know, it's a soap opera. You just make it up. And that's what mock drafts are. They just make it all up. But yet some of them publish these things and then other people retweet. I can't tell you how many times this. I'm not going to do my mock draft rant again. Don't worry. But I can't tell you how many times just in the past 6 days alone somebody's retweeted somebody else's mock draft saying, like actually getting excited. Like, whoa, you know, Frank McHandjob with NFL.com has the Bucs getting three defensive linemen in the first 10 picks via these trades. Whoa, this is awesome. What's awesome? It's just made up. It's not a real thing, man. They're not actually doing that. That's just your little mock thing. I saw a couple other mock drafts that had, like, the Bucs, like, seven-round mock draft with, like, the whole entire draft class for the Bucs. And it involved, like, guys in the third and fourth round that are total studs that aren't going to even be there past the second round. But that's what you can do when you make a mock draft. Just put the names on there, and everybody's fans gobble it up, and they go, whoa, you know, what if we got so-and-so in the fourth round? I think this is great. This is what they should do. And no bleep. None of it's not real. Live in the world of the real. It's like red pill, blue pill. And I didn't see The Matrix because I hate sci-fi movies, but I know enough that there was the red pill and the blue pill, right? And it was, you know, do you want to live in the world of the real or do you want to stay in your demented alter reality that isn't a reality? I can't remember which pill was which. People that saw The Matrix would know. But I'm a real world guy. I don't need any of the fantasy stuff. So, good for Donovan Smith and good for the Bucs. Hopefully it works out. But again, he's not as terrible as we made him out to be back when we were going through some frustrating weeks there in the 2018 season. He's also not as good as he's probably being defended as since the contract got signed and all the defenders have come out and said, oh, well, you know, top flight left tackle and all that. You know, it's probably somewhere in the middle, which is how most things in life are. But the combine, didn't really shed any light on anything, which is not a surprise. And now that that's over, we talked last week about it. Hey, I didn't get a chance to run my 40 yet, and I'm not trying to be like hollow promises guy. I've been so busy this week. Like, that's why the show is on a Friday this week instead of a Thursday. But I'm going to put the spandex on. I'm going to do it. Just give me, like, I'll put it on Twitter and everything. I'm still calling sub-5-0. But there was a really good article written on ESPN.com by Wright Thompson, who's a good, like a fun writer to read. And he writes longer form stuff for ESPN from time to time. And he took a whole deep dive into the combine, went over there. And I won't go into the details of the whole article. You can go on ESPN.com and find it if you want to. But the gist of it was, this is a big, giant boys trip. Half of these GMs and people don't even know why they're there. They sit in these luxury boxes up in the far corners of the stadium. They can't even see who's running a 40 or who's doing what. So what do? They turn and look at the TV in their booth to see what's going on the field. Then it hits them. Why do I even have to be here? I can do all this from my office at home. Yeah, I don't need to be like watching guys run 40s in person. Now, I guess there's some interviews and things like that that you want to do. So I get to the extent. But it's a big boys trip. They go to steakhouses. They slap waitresses on the ass without their permission. And they generally act like a bunch of middle-aged, undersexed guys probably would when you cut them loose on the road with a lot of money. Everybody trying to show off. It's like high school. That's basically what it is. It's like older people, only still like middle school or junior high school or whatever, trying to impress each other, trying to big league things. They order crappy wine that sounds cool. The waiters and waitresses talked to Wright Thompson when he wrote the article. They order, wine that sucks, but it sounds good. It's got a label just to show how big league they are. The whole thing just reeks of it. Just reeks of being a pretender, being a wannabe, trying to peacock and all that stuff. It sounds terrible. Some people say, oh, it sounds awesome. It sounds awful to me. I would have want to have nothing to do with it. But the Joes could probably tell you more about it because they were actually there providing some great coverage. But nothing came out of it that we didn't already know, except, like I said last week, with Kyler Murray being 5'10 and 1/8 instead of 5'9 and 6/8. Those 3/8 of an inch are going to probably save him. And then, of course, there was the conspiracy theories coming out the next week that he somehow juiced his height at the combine, which, there should be witnesses, right, to how they measure the height, making sure he's not wearing shoes, making sure he's flat-footed. Did he have a lift in his socks? You could probably try and do that, and would anybody notice? I don't know. Even a Dr. Scholl's little insert in your socks, if it's pliable, could look like the shape of the bottom of your foot enough to where nobody questioned it. Who cares, right? But anyway, hey, if it gets him drafted in the top 5, ahead of where the Bucks are picking, and it bumps one more guy down and we get Allen or somebody like that, then fine. I'm all for that. Again, none of it matters, though, as much as we all think it does. I forgot to mention earlier, email me if you want to. I love getting your emails. Always love being in touch with everybody. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. Same thing on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay, if you want to tweet at me. I enjoy all of that. Again, the new league year starts March 13th, as does free agency and all that fun stuff. And so things will be starting to take shape more after that sorts itself out. And again, there will be cuts. The Bucks are just over $3 million under the cap right now, which is not enough, but it's also not how it's going to be. Now, who are the biggest names? Obviously, DeSean Jackson could be somewhere else, whether it's a trade or a release. Although, here's the thing with Jackson to remember, too. His contract is not guaranteed until week one. Game one, week one, that's when it starts to count. So the Bucks could even hold on to him. I'm not sure if they want to deal with a headache if there's potential displeasure, but they could hang on to him all through the offseason, see what happens with injuries for other teams in the preseason if teams are more desperate for a receiver than they might think they are right now, if that increases his value. So not necessarily something that would happen right away, but he's one. Bo Allen, there's a few of them. Golston's another one. A bunch of names that something will have to give. And what it comes down to for me right now, and the whole point of me talking about the Donovan Smith thing and talking about the cap room and talking about what the Bucks' approach this offseason is going to be, is I've sobered up a little bit from the Bruce Arians hire. Not because of Arians. It's natural. You hire a new coach, you're always, oh, yeah, man, it's going to be different now. This is going to be awesome. And that was multiplied even more with Arians because of his track record and just in general, I like him. So, just like a lot of you guys, I was just over the moon. Like, here we go. You know, it's not going to be the way it was anymore, on and on and on. I've sobered up a little bit just because when I've actually stepped back and taken a look at the team itself, all right, I've realized that it's not going to look that different. And no team, you know, unless you do something crazy, necessarily does look that different from year to year. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. I mean, there's been years where there's been total overhauls and the end result has been garbage. And the Bucks look pretty different this past season than they did the season before. And what do they have to show for it? You know, double-digit losses again. So maybe having the same group of guys, mostly younger guys, take their lumps and come back with one more year of experience, one, and two, better coaching, you know, that could bode very well. But it is going to be the same guys. And so it's just, you know, it's all about adjusting expectations about where we need to be as Bucks fans right now. I know everybody's excited about free agency. I don't think too much will happen. And as far as the draft, I am pretty excited about the draft. I mean, what I like about it is how deep the defensive line draft is, which is something the Bucks obviously need. And picking fifth, one, you know you can get a good guy at five with things that deep as they are. Two, you can trade down, get more picks, and still get one of those guys. I mean, these are all things I'm pretty excited about. So, you know, just after the first few weeks post Bruce Arians' hire, sobering up a little bit isn't necessarily a bad thing. But looking at the big picture, you know, there's a lot that's going to be different between now and even a few weeks from now after free agency is done. Now, I was looking back over the years a little bit when I was getting ready for today's show, and I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but SB Nation did a whole thing, and they're not just doing the Bucks. They've done a series. I don't know if they've done the other ones, but the Bucks were the first one. But they were doing a series on collapses of franchises. Everybody always does these series documenting dynasties and things like that and how they built this or that. And they wanted to do something the opposite. How does a team go from being relevant and pretty good to just nowhere? And the Bucks were the first one out. And it's like these video shorts. If you look it up on YouTube, again, they're done by SB Nation. I'll tweet it out on my Twitter account, at Bobby Game Day, and you can link to it that way too. But what it basically got into was how the Bucks, you know, won the Super Bowl with Rich McKay and building the team through the 90s and early 2000s, Tony Dungy, then of course Gruden, and then they win the Super Bowl. And then it says, okay, from there, you know, here's how it all broke down. It's pretty, if you're a Bucks fan who goes back a ways, or actually, especially if maybe you're a newer Bucks fan and you don't remember all this, it's really worth your time. It's 12 minutes long, and it details, you know, how even right after that Super Bowl, the first, you know, that offseason, Keyshawn and Gruden, is there a rift? Rich McKay and Gruden, is there a rift? And then those rifts both manifested themselves in 2003 as neither of those guys, McKay or Keyshawn, made it through the season as members of the Buccaneers. And, you know, McKay ended up being with the Falcons right as the Falcons were beating the Bucs to eliminate them from the playoffs in 2003. In week 16, I think it was. So there was that. Then there was the whole thing. Of course, they go through the Colts Monday night game a little bit, which we all probably remember all too well. They didn't do Chris Jenkins' blocked extra point for the Bucks to lose their home opener after the Super Bowl against the Panthers. But then they go into hiring Bruce Allen, which of course begot the release of John Lynch, letting Warren Sapp walk, trading Keenan McCardell, Keyshawn eventually going to the Cowboys, replacing him with guys like Charlie Garner and Tim Brown. I mean, it goes through everything. It was really well done. I enjoyed it. Like, even though it was not documenting an enjoyable part of the franchise history, I enjoyed watching it. And the reason I got sobered up mainly is because I watched that and I realized, you know, how many years looking back now have we been sitting here in March, drafts coming up, free agencies coming up, and we say the same damn things, the same damn times of the same damn years over and over and over, and yet it always ends the same as well, but not the way we said they would. You know, we've gone through this so many times. And, you know, my wife, she always rolls her eyes at me. She's a sports fan. She's not as hardcore as I am, but she's a sports fan. She's from South Florida, so she's a Dolphins fan. So, you know, sometimes I get on her about the Dolphins having never been to the Super Bowl in her lifetime, whereas the Bucs have a championship. But anyway, she rolls her eyes because I'll say stuff. You know how it is. Like when in college, you live with your buddies, you get roommates, you live with your buddies, and you talk about like stuff like sports like all the time. So now I live with my wife and my kids. I still talk about stuff with my buddies, but like, you know, she's the one I live with. She's the one who's there. So I'll pop off to her. Oh, man, we got Bruce Arians. Did you see, honey? We got Bruce Arians. How about this guy? Oh, man, it's going to be different. And she rolls her eyes because she's seen me say these things over and over and over so many times before. And every time I roll my eyes at her rolling her eyes, because I'm like, you know what, man? You don't know. You're so pessimistic. You don't know. The Bucs could be really good this year. They should be really good this year. Look at all that they have coming back. Look at the new coaches, blah, blah. And she just rolls her eyes. She's like, how is this any different than 2018 spring was, 2017 spring, 2012 spring, all these years? And so watching that video, it hit me like she's right. Like she's absolutely right. And yet I'll never stop being this way. I hope none of you do either. Because, you know, when it comes to rooting for a team, unless it's maybe the Patriots are like the only exception. I mean, even the Yankees and Red Sox in baseball don't even get that far. But when it comes to rooting for a team, really, like, what are we doing? Like, are we in this for a Super Bowl every season? Because if you are, you'll never be happy. I mean, the Bucks, the Lightning, the Rays combined have something like 80 total seasons in Tampa Bay sports history, right? And what do we have to show for that? Two championships, another loss in the championship round when the Lightning lost, or two losses in the championship round. Lightning lost the Stanley Cup final in 2015, and the Rays lost the 2008 World Series. A couple of conference championship appearances, and then, you know, what, 60 to 70 other seasons where ultimately our team didn't win anything. And most of those, they didn't even make the playoffs or didn't win a playoff game. So it's a results-oriented thing, sports. And yet, being a sports fan probably isn't as results-oriented as we pretend it is, or we wouldn't do this. I mean, I wouldn't do many other things that got as little a return on my emotional investment as rooting for my teams to win championships does. But that's the thing. The return on the emotional investment isn't just winning championships, or else we'd be broke. The return on the investment is just the excitement you get, you know, in the middle of March, just because the draft's coming up in 6 weeks, or just because free agency's starting next week. You're listening to this show right now for whatever reason, but there's a pretty good chance you're emotionally invested in the Bucs or you wouldn't be, and you're probably excited. Again, you've got your daily life, you've got your job, you've got your family or whatever it is you have, and none of those things will get any better if the Bucs win a Super Bowl or not, or if they win a playoff game or not. You're still going to have to pay your bills the next day. You're not going to get promoted at work if the Bucs, you know, if Josh Allen slides to the Bucs at 5, you're not going to get promoted at work the next day. Congratulations, the Bucs got Allen. It doesn't affect your life in any way, but it gives you hope. It gives you something to do. It gives you something to entertain yourself with. And so as we sit here on the dawn of a new year, new league year, I know I'm repeating the same tripe I probably repeat all the time over decades of losing seasons, and it's never any different. But 1 year it will be different. I don't know which one it will be. And when it is, it's going to be a lot more fun having done all this so many times. And so I don't think, you know, looking at the Bucs in 2019, we got plenty of time to evaluate the team for 2019. We've got plenty of time to look ahead, especially after the draft and free agency are over. But right now, your best bet, if you're really hoping for change, is change within the very people who are already here last year. People simply playing better. People whose names we don't think a ton of when we hear them now, who end up being mainstays in this franchise. I mean, if you look back at the Bucs in the late 90s and early 2000s when they drafted, I remember them drafting Sapp and Lynch and Barber and those guys, and they made instant impacts, but they had a lot of other guys too that came in and, you know, at first were just kind of there, and they all formed a nucleus, though, of that team that ended up winning the Super Bowl, and not just winning the Super Bowl, but contending for a few years leading into that. And that's what the Bucs are trying to build here. Now, Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich and everybody else better be good, and they better be able to back up everything they've said, because they've made it sound like, hey, there isn't that much to do. Bruce Arians talks about Jason Light like, oh, hey, fantastic. I've never walked into a situation with this much talent, he says. you know, those words will get thrown back in his face if we're sitting here in November and December again with Raymond James Stadium having 35,000 people and the Bucks 5-9 and playing out the string and us arguing about whether we should be rooting for him to win or lose because of draft position, which is, again, the same damn thing we've done so many years since I've been doing this show, with the exception of, what was it, a couple years ago when they actually were in the playoff race. We've done that every fall after Thanksgiving. If we're doing that again, you know, it'll be the whole broken record thing. But in the meantime, we don't have to worry about that right now. All we got to worry about right now is 5 days from now, March 13th, new league year. I'm excited. I know you're excited too. And next week's show and the ensuing shows leading up to the draft are going to be fun ones just because of that hope that we keep coming back to, no matter what history has told us time and time again. Speaking of things I'm excited about, I know this isn't Bucks related, but I wanted to mention it because I got to believe that there's some crossover here in our audience. But WrestleMania is coming to Tampa. It's coming to Raymond James Stadium. And I, for one, was really, really proud when that announcement came out the other day because, you know, born and raised here my whole life, I always get proud when we get big events. Super Bowls, we got our fifth one coming, college football national championship, even the Republican convention. I mean, not to get political, but I'm not exactly lined up on that side of the aisle. But that was a big deal for us to get that. That was a big event, and that was national attention. And I like when that stuff happens in Tampa. Like, I get excited. So WrestleMania, which, you know, make fun. If you're a wrestling fan, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not a huge wrestling fan anymore, but I was growing up. But even if you're a wrestling naysayer, oh, wrestling, whatever, these guys in underwear, it's a soap opera, which it is. Let me tell you something. You may not realize it, but that is sneaky, one of the bigger events we've ever had here. And that's going to rival a Super Bowl as far as impact, as far as people coming here. It's not, you know, quite the same as the Super Bowl. It's not going to have Radio Row and all this stuff. And it's not going to have, you know, aging ex-stars trying to hawk crappy products on the radio and stuff like that. But there's going to be thousands upon thousands of people coming here. It's going to be a major event. It's going to be really exciting. I'm going to try and go. And I'm probably going to follow wrestling more closely over the next year than I do now. And my son, being 7 years old, he'll be 8 when we get it. That's a really good age. And this is where my wife would chime in. Yeah, that's because wrestling is something you're supposed to grow out of after you're 8. So yeah, 8 is a good age. But 8 is a good age for my son for next year. I think he'll be really into it. I think it could be something fun to do. And, you know, I may or may not DVR Monday Night Raw a few times between now and then. But it's a big deal for Tampa. If you're in this area, I know that, you know, this is a website so people can listen from all over. But if you're in this area, you know, it's something worth getting excited about. And 2020 is going to be a big year in general because we'll have it in April of 2020 with the Super Bowl and then calendar year 2021. But 2020 football season in February of 2021, we'll have the Super Bowl as well. And you're damn right I'm pumped up for that, especially given the wrestling history here and things like that. And I still have to play. Hey, listen, I take my shirt off and I strip down to my boxer briefs and I wrestle my kid on our couch still. He loves it. He comes out, he's got one of the what's it called? Rey Mysterio masks, you know, the mask. And he comes out of the locker room, which is our mud room, basically. And we play music and stuff. And then I take my shirt off and we get in there and tangle, man. And it's the same thing I did with my dad and my grandpa when I was 6. Now he's doing it. And it's going to be really cool to have a chance to see that happen in Tampa. And you think of Raymond James Stadium, like, you know, Raymond James Stadium is entering its 21st year. It still feels new to me. And I still think of the old Sombrero as like the true Tampa Stadium, which it always will be. But I was thinking about this the other day too. Like, I was born in 1980, spent my whole childhood going to Bandits and Bucks games at the old Tampa Stadium all the way through the final game at Tampa Stadium in 1997 when the Bucks beat the Lions in the wild card, which was, I think, was that either December of 97 or January of 98 when that game happened. And then, you know, Raymond James Stadium was built, and I remember saying, like, you know, I wonder if I'll love this stadium as much as I love, because Tampa Stadium is, to this day, like, I still drive down Dale Mabry sometimes, and I still look to the spot just north of Raymond James where it used to be, and I still kind of picture it in my mind's eye sitting there. I mean, I miss it. I'd love to be able to go back in time to one more game there. And I thought to myself, even back then, I wonder if Raymond James Stadium will ever feel that way, the way Tampa Stadium feels to me. And a lot of it's just based on childhood because everything seems so much bigger in your childhood. But I was 17 years old when I attended my last event at Tampa Stadium. And now it's been Raymond James Stadium for 21 years. So Raymond James Stadium actually has more history for me than Tampa Stadium. And yet it still feels new. It still feels brand new to me. Like, oh yeah, it'll take time. The history's not there yet. Tampa Stadium's where the history is. I've been to more games at Raymond James Stadium than Tampa Stadium. I've been to, you know, almost 100 games at Raymond James Stadium. But yet still, it doesn't feel that way. But you add events like the Super Bowls that they've had and are coming again. You add something like WrestleMania. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I don't know, you know, what the ticket situation will be by then. But I'm going to try to go. And it's just another thing to look forward to. So it's going to be a big couple years here in Tampa Bay. But we're not worried about that right now. We're just worried about the upcoming free agency. And that's 5 days from now. And if anything happens between now and then, you already know where to be. JoeBucksFan.com, the single best spot for Bucks coverage anywhere on the internet. Anywhere, period, really. Because they're constantly refreshing things. There's all you go up there, read a new article right now, go take a break, eat lunch, come back. There'll be a new article after that one. And that's just when things are quiet, much less when things are happening, and a lot will be over the coming few weeks. So I want to thank the Joes for giving me the opportunity to get in front of you guys and be able to do this show and get in front of all the clicks that they get and kind of feed off that a little bit. I want to thank Bill Curry Ford, our sponsor. Again, go check him out a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, and go to the website if you want to, BillCurryFord.com. And the 2018's getting blown out, as well as the 2019's. They're all there. I want to thank all of you for listening to me. We didn't get to the XFL. Mark Trestman's the head coach. That was announced this week, too. That's a whole other thing that'll be happening in 2020. So we'll get to that on future shows next week or something like that. But in the meantime, let's buckle our chin straps. Let's get ready for a little free agency. Let's get ready to say goodbye to a few players, because cuts will be coming, and we'll see how it all shakes out. And in the meantime, enjoy your weekend, be safe, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.